Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I want to start by thanking you, our listeners. We're very grateful for your encouragement and support. It was so good to meet many of you at the recent concert with Ernie Cox in Ottawa in November. We are thankful for that, and I just want to remind you that you can always visit us on our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. Today, I would like to speak to you about the glorious truth that Jesus shall reign. The scripture, one of the many scriptures that speaks to this, is a scripture from Paul's letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15. And he's speaking about the truth of the resurrection of the dead, and he ties it so much into the coming reign of Jesus Christ. He says to the readers, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, then we are to be pitied more than all people. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet." Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, the Son himself will be made subject to him who put him, who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. This is a great scripture speaking of our hope, a hope that is tied completely to the destiny of Christ. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, so we who put our trust in him will be raised from death. And because Christ will reign forever, we have this hope that the future holds the justice, the goodness, the life, and the light of Jesus Christ as the measure of our reality. Now, in some traditions of the Christian church, they follow a liturgical calendar. The church year begins with Advent, the season that we enter into in December as we prepare for Christmas. And it continues through various parts of the church year to bring to remembrance various aspects of who God is and what Christ has done for us. And the very last Sunday of the church year is Christ the King Sunday. Now, I'm not such a big fan of the liturgical year. I observe it when it's convenient, I suppose. But I do really enjoy celebrating Christ the King Sunday. It's a Sunday to remember that all injustice will be destroyed, that Jesus Christ will come again, that he will come to set everything right, to raise the dead, and to settle all injustice. That second coming or second advent of Jesus marks the end of the church year, just as the first advent, the waiting for the birth of Jesus, marks the beginning. Well, we'll discuss that more in a few moments. But first, let's turn to this hymn of praise, which is "O Worship the King," as presented by Grace Presbyterian Chancel Choir of Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Paul speaks boldly of the return of Christ. He speaks about the complete sovereign rule of Christ when Jesus destroys all dominion, authority, and power. He's speaking of a new kingdom, a completely different day, something outside of our experience, when instead of being dominated by the forces that destroy and decay, we will be free from all that and set in a right relationship with God, in a creation that is renewed, in bodies that are immortal. It's the hope of the redeemed. We don't hope for the streets paved with gold. We don't hope for the pearly gates. We don't hope for great big mansions as much as we hope for Jesus Christ to be with us, to reign over all things. In fact, the reign of Christ is the answer to the petition in the Lord's Prayer that says to God the Father, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's a delight to think that we will be set free from false rule, from the rule of sin, evil, and decay. How often we are ruled by these forces, whether they're political forces, laws that are unjust, or systems that create difficulty and hardship, especially for the most needy. We ourselves find ourselves, even as Christians, struggling with the domination of sin, of appetites and desires that try to rule us. Our appetites and desires are meant to be our servants, to enable us to seek good things in good measure, but too often they're out of control and they are a tyranny over us. When people try to get rid of an old habit, they find themselves under another domination than Jesus Christ, and they submit themselves to Christ that he might dominate them with his love, with his freedom, with his gift of peace and self-control. It will be a great day when we're set free from all those false rulers, when we're set free from all the deceits and deceptions that keep us from knowing the truth about our identity in Christ. It will indeed be the glory of heaven on earth. When Jesus Christ walked on this earth, John the Apostle described him as full of grace and truth. And when his rule is over all things, the entire world will be full of grace and truth. Prophets of the Old Testament spoke of a glorious day in the future, a day which would be like a return to Eden, a peaceable kingdom when the lion would lie down with the lamb, when there would be nothing harmful on all of God's holy mountain, when all people would live at peace. It is a glorious vision in the Old Testament, and it's also a glorious vision in John's revelation, the vision that he was given of Jesus Christ coming to reign over all things. It's a very challenging book, the book of Revelation, and many, many sermons have been preached and many books written trying to untangle its mysteries and trying to answer many different questions about when and where and who and how. But the ultimate message is the coming of God's great kingdom on earth, the end of all that's evil, the destruction of death itself, as Paul describes it. We are looking forward to that kingdom. We are praying for it, even when we await the Christmas story once again as the month of December comes upon us. We're not just waiting to remember that Jesus once came. We're celebrating the fact that this Jesus, who so greatly loved us as to come as a child, is going to return as a king and continue to show his love upon his creation. Well, we'll take a little bit more about a little closer look at Jesus' reign in a slightly different aspect after we listen to this song. This is a song sung by Michael Card, but it's an ancient hymn, "Holy God, We Praise Thy Name."
Oh, thy scepter own. All in heaven above adore thee. Infinite thy vast domain. Everlasting is thy reign. Spare thy people, Lord, we pray, by a thousand snares surrounded. Keep us free from sin today, and never let us be confounded. All my trust I place in thee. Never, Lord, abandon me. Seraphim, one unceasing chorus raising, ever sing with sweet accord, holy, holy, holy Lord, holy, holy, holy Lord.
Jesus shall reign in the future. That's glorious good news. You know, that future which God promises is really His answer to many of our questions about the state of the world today. We wonder at the existence of evil, and in fact, many of the strongest or most passionate arguments made against Christianity is the recognition that there is evil in the world. As one of my favorite philosophers says, I'm very glad that people have a problem with evil. God has a problem with evil. Christians have a problem with evil. We see what's wrong in the world, and we know that this is not God's perfect intention. We know that God has something better planned. And in fact, a number of Jesus' parables talk about how, as Christian believers, we ought to put our hope not in what we see in this day and age, but in the future that God promises. So often, Jesus points to those who put their hope in the present world, who accumulate riches, and only to find out that death awaits them. Those who abuse the needy and indulge themselves, only to discover that they've received their reward already in this life, and to find that the people that they neglected are being cared for by God in the next life. It's important to recognize, whenever we see an injustice in this world, that Scripture recognizes that there's injustice and promises that the God who is just and merciful will restore and repair those injustices. It's important for us to recognize that when we see difficulties in our own lives as well. We sometimes are told by some preachers that we should expect nothing but prosperity, nothing but health, nothing but good things because we're Christians. But what do we actually experience? We experience significant difficulties in life. We experience heartbreak. In fact, because God has put such a love in our hearts, not only for our own families, but for neighbors and strangers, even a love for our enemies, we find that our heart is broken over and over again. because of the evil in this world. Jesus tells us to have a hope that the God who is full of grace is going to judge the earth and set right all things, restore and give restitution in all areas. We know that the problem of evil needs to be looked at in terms of not what's happening right at this present moment, but the whole scope of God's plan. Paul uses the illustration of a woman in labor, that though she experiences pain in labor, when the baby is born, the pain is forgotten. I always like to say it's not quite forgotten, because we hear about it in stories for years afterwards. However, the pain is set aside and replaced with joy when that child is born. The kingdom of God promises us that what we suffer in this life will be more than worth it when seen through the lens of eternity. Is there anything else that we can learn about Jesus' reign in the future that affects us today? If Jesus is coming again someday to set everything right, does it really matter what we do here on earth, if this earth is going to pass away and the new earth take its place? Well, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that his kingdom is to begin in us today. The way we live should reflect that the kingdom of God is present in us. I always think of kingdoms somewhat differently than I think of the modern state. The modern state is carefully defined in terms of borders and lines, and the jurisdiction of a government is set out in statute. But it seems to me that a kingdom is a little bit more flexible. The kingdom consists of those who are subject to the king. And wherever there is a subject obeying the king, there the kingdom exists, because the rule of that king is present in that subject. In some ways, that's our state here on earth, that the kingdom of God is something that we bring into the world as ambassadors. We present a kingdom. Like ambassadors in the modern city-state, in modern nation-state, an ambassador is always subject to his government back home. And he has a certain degree of freedom in the country in which he's living, because he represents the government from another place. We also represent the government of God. We represent his rule. And so we obey him above all others. We obey him according to his word, not in an arrogant fashion, but in a humble, submissive fashion. In that respect, we're like Jesus, who exercised his authority by always acknowledging the authority of his Father in heaven, who did what he did in order to glorify his Father. Everything he did was a statement about who his Father was. How is that reflected in our lives? Does everything we do reflect who Jesus is? Does everything we do reflect the love of our Heavenly Father? We often come before God confessing that we haven't been good ambassadors, that somehow or other we may have misrepresented his kingdom by hanging on to our opinions and attitudes instead of letting them be shaped and formed by God. We can turn that around by asking God, inviting God to rule in us anew, inviting God to help us to obey. He's given us a Holy Spirit so that it doesn't even have to be by our own strength that we follow his rules, but in allowing the Holy Spirit to live and work within us, to extend to every aspect of our living, so that whenever people look at us, they will see a representative of the kingdom of God. I really do believe that people need hope today. The systems of this world are continually subject to decay. A new idea rises up and looks good for a while and then falls apart. The things that people have depended upon for years and even generations sometimes suddenly show cracks and decay. The kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is everlasting. The word of God is from age to age the same. And if we will continue to present this changeless, glorious, graceful word of God's saving love, then we will give people something that represents their hope for today and their destiny for tomorrow. We can be a part of this great work of God, remembering that he shall reign in the future, remembering that he shall restore all things. We can give our lives with abandon into his service to be his subjects, his children, and his ambassadors wherever we go. Let's turn to him in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that we have your help in presenting to the world your lasting hope. O Lord, you are worthy of all honor and glory and praise, not just by the angels in heaven, but by us here on earth. Let our obedience be a sacrifice, an offering to you. Let our hope be found in you. Let our strength be sourced in your Holy Spirit, that we might always honor you. To you be glory, Heavenly Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to thank you, listeners, for your encouragement and prayers, and I do want to urge you to consider supporting this ministry financially. If you can, please make out a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. We will send you a receipt at income tax time. Please also tell others about this program. Be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with integrity, compassion, and resolve. And now, to conclude this program, with a glance toward the coming Christmas season, here is a song from Bruce Cockburn, Shepherds. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
They wake up suddenly in the night. There is light and figures dancing in the sky, clothed in more colors than the world can contain. And all the silences of the night deep in song, like that of a river cascading from the wild mountain to the slow human plain.
Gloria,
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.